Hey everyone, I am back with Brooklyn to tell you more about
Make Crate.
We are loving it. We are on the road this summer to finish filming for the documentary, and one of the very few things we brought with us was our
Make Crate.
Brooklyn, tell people who don't know what Make Crate is.
Make Crate is a fun, hands-on electronics kit paired with an online platform to teach your kids coding fundamentals and engineering skills.
That's right. And there are so many fun things you can do with it. You can make
electronic games, instruments, clocks, a burglar alarm, and lots more.
And lots more fun stuff. And there's no technical expertise required. Where can people find out more about Make Crate?
Go to makecrate.club/SR to order your Make Crate today. And make sure to thank them for this week's transcripts.
Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I have a really fun guest on with me today. Some of you may not know his name, but you've definitely become familiar with some of his work. And some of you may know his name and you're listening to this podcast because you are familiar with him and excited to hear just some of his journey. His name is Aaron Burns, and Aaron is a producer, a movie producer, and he has acted in several different movies, and he has worked on some movies that I'm sure many of you have seen before. Beyond the Mask is one of his biggest productions he's done. He's also worked on War Room, and most recently, he has been working on Overcomer, which is the new movie that's coming out in, I think, August by the Kendrick Brothers. So we are super excited to have you on the podcast today. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, thank you so much. We got to meet you back in, I think it was February or March. I actually can't even remember what month it was now, but it was at the Christian Worldview Film Festival in Tennessee. And
That's right. And
you're a riot.
We have a lot of fun at that event. And for people who are interested in filmmaking and storytelling, we encourage, you know, any families or kids who want to get involved in that to come down every March in the Nashville area.
Yes.
Festival.
Okay. So it was March. So yes,
yeah.
It is one of our favorite events. We actually have been the last 2 years to that event, and we are always so incredibly blown away by just the speakers, the encouragement, the training, everything that comes with that. And then at the end of the week, you guys do this big kind of award ceremony, and it's fun and flashy, and it kind of, you know, makes everyone feel kind of Hollywood star-ish. So you got to MC that, and that was a lot of fun. And by the way, Schoolhouse Rocked won this year. We won Best Film Trailer. So that was really exciting.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It was very exciting. We were surprised to win that. And so very honored to get that award. So anyway, well, tell us about you, because you were homeschooled growing up. You now have three little ones yourself. Tell us about you and your family.
Yeah, well, it's always an interesting question where to begin, but I was homeschooled and really enjoyed that journey. So my parents were both first generation believers who wanted to just raise us in a way that would be honoring to the Lord. And so back then, homeschooling was kind of a newer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, very much more established. Because you say, well, George Washington was homeschooled,
right.
So it's been around for a while. But it was more cutting edge. We didn't have all the resources that we had today, mm-hmm. but had a lot of fun with it. My mom loved history and loved teaching us and literature and reading. So that's something that we spent a lot of time reading great books and studying characters from the past. And my dad is a storyteller. So he'd constantly be telling us, you know, every night, but, oh, Dad, could you tell us another story? And so kind of that influence on me growing up with history and literature and reading and storytelling is a huge part of what shaped my passion to tell stories to reach a generation today with the medium of film. And honestly, we didn't watch that many movies or really hardly any TV shows mm-hmm. as kids, but it was a curiosity around those things and awareness of the power of storytelling that led us to want to get involved. So when we were in high school, junior high, you know, kind of that age, started playing around in the backyard. We started with, the giant VHS camcorder, uh-huh. and we had a little mini DV camera that your mom would use to film a birthday party. And we're off in the backyard you know, shooting superhero movies and cowboy and Indian stories and all kinds of adventures like that. So just had a great time with my cousins and siblings, and kind of, I think the nature of us being homeschooled and being thrown together all these times encouraged us to be creative and do things like that.
That's so cool. So your cousin Chad and you, you have your own production company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what have you done with your company? I know you did Beyond the Mask.
Yeah. So our family together made our first feature film, Pendragon.
Okay.
And we released that back in 2009, I think. So it's crazy. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was our first feature. And it was literally probably 10, 12, 15 of us Burns working on that movie. I played the lead actor in it.
Nice.
Was an adventure for sure. We're making all our own costumes, and we built a giant Roman hill fort in the woods behind my dad's house, and, you know, built a real 20-foot trebuchet launching firebombs and all these things, and wanting to tell a story about inspiring a generation to follow God's call on your life and what God calls you to do. He gives you the grace to accomplish. And it was a lot of fun, but also a lot of challenge and a lot of learning. And it was kind of our version of film school, where we had literally no idea what we were doing when we got started. And it's trial and error. And you'd shoot a scene and you'd be like, huh, that does not look good.
Doesn't look like it looked in your head, huh?
Yes. And so you try again and trial and error. We wound up shooting probably the movie like 1.5 times over the course of 3 years. And then we finished that and said, okay, well, let's move on with life. And I went off to college to was working on my master's of business when we started distributing it. My cousin Chad was working on his PhD in engineering. Mm-hmm. And all of our other cousins and siblings were, you know, heading their different directions. And a couple of things happened. One, this little movie we made, Pendragon, started to pick up some steam in distribution in Christian bookstores and TV. Here in the States and overseas. It's all of a sudden it's in 12 countries and 4 or 5 languages, and we're getting letters back from kids all over the world said, hey, your movie's different. It's a faith-based adventure story that exalts Christ, and we loved it. When are you gonna make your next movie? And we're like, kind of hit us by surprise in a way. And at the same time, God had put a mentor in my life who was discipling me and encouraging me and pushing me to really flesh out this faith, this religion, this God that you've grown up with. What does that really mean for you? Mm-hmm. What does it really look like? And so I started to really grow in my personal relationship with the Lord, and then want to start sharing that with others. So all these things were kind of happening at the same time that God just really put a burden on our hearts. I was in an entrepreneurial marketing class, and the professor put up what he called a unique space map. It would have these different quadrants and different projects and ideas. And he said, hey, if you're going to start a business, you have to find a way to compete differently. And I was like thinking of what business I would want to start, and then just realized we were kind of already doing this with these Christ-centered adventure stories that wouldn't just reach, you know, Christian women, or wouldn't reach just a secular audience, but would be gospel-centered, you know, Christian worldview adventure stories that the whole family and particularly young people would enjoy. So kind of all these things were swirling, and we felt a clear call from the Lord back into pursuing filmmaking. And that's Beyond the Mask was kind of birthed out of that adventure. Then from there, we went on to help the Kendricks with a couple of their projects, War Room and Overcomer. And I'm shooting a project right now with some friends from Texas that you guys can check out, called Washington's Armor.
Okay.
It's a mini series about the life of young George Washington.
Oh, cool.
And then we have a couple of other big projects that we're developing and would love your guys' prayers for.
Yes. And so where are you in production on those?
We have two feature films that are in development. One we've been developing for a couple of years, and we're almost done. We're kind of in the pitching to studios and potential investors, seeing who wants to get involved with it, praying through those decisions. But it's ready to shoot. We've finished our location scouting, and, you know, hundreds of pages of set designs and the script and all of these creative elements are all done. So we're in the pitching phase for that project.
Okay.
And then the other one is a little bit earlier in development.
Okay.
So those are both feature films. And then we have, like I said, I'm helping a friend shoot a project. We're in production right now.
Okay.
The TV show about George Washington.
So. Okay. Okay. So cool. So this is what you do for a living. You've got your master's in business administration, and that I know, you know, being a producer really is that. You administer all the business of the film making.
In many ways. Yes. Yeah.
So how has that coupled together with your education, with homeschooling, and now with filmmaking? How have you worked all of that together?
Yeah, it's really a fun question, because the role that I have as a producer, you're really very split between creative mm-hmm. and business and logistics. So an executive producer is specifically focused on the money side and right. the distribution side. But with my role as producer, I get to look very much on both sides. So you kind of take an idea. This is the story we want to tell. Mm-hmm. And it's my privilege to shepherd that story all the way through concept and all the way through distribution to getting in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. So we have what we call five phases of filmmaking. So the first one is development. It's, hey, I've got this idea. I want to make a movie about this theme. Okay, well, who are the characters going to be? Let's get together an outline. Let's get together, the script. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, well, where in the world are you going to shoot it? What is the budget you're going to shoot it for? Is this going to be animated or live action? Are you going to build all the sets? Is it going to be CG heavy? You know, what kind of actors and who's the target audience? All those questions, creative fun questions, happen in development. And that's one of my favorite phases, because that's where the most creativity mm-hmm. occurs. You're just throwing mud at the wall and dreaming and praying and planning. Yeah. So once you finish development, you say, this is exactly what the goal is. You have your financing and hopefully your distribution lined up. You move into the second phase, which is pre-production. And that's relatively short. That's a couple of months that you're getting the project rolling. You're hiring the actors. You're building the sets. You're making the costumes. You're getting all the gear and gathering your crew. And then the shortest phase of the project is actual production itself, where you're rolling cameras. That might be just 30 to 60 shooting days, depending mm-hmm. on the scale of projects. A lot of projects, for instance, War Room, we shot in 30 days. Mm-hmm. Overcome was like 32 shooting days. So you're only on set for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then you jump, you know, there's a massive team, 120 or, you know, depending on if you have big extras. So you might have 300 people, 400 people working for you for a day of shooting. Then they all go home and you're left with a pile of hard drives.
Yeah.
And then that starts post-production, which is the editing, and you spend several months editing, and then you get to picture lock and you start doing the score and the visual effects and the music mm-hmm. and the audio and all those elements. Your team kind of grows again. Then you get to distribution, and that's taking the audience or taking the movie and getting it out to your audience. So those are kind of the phases. And it's been neat from definitely my homeschool background, being forced to collaborate with all of your different siblings and all mm-hmm. different situations. I think naturally set me up to be comfortable with mm-hmm. all the variety of different situations that we encountered when we first started doing movies. So it never was something that was really stressful or freaked us out at the beginning, because we kind of did this, and we just started running these teams, which were basically, we're getting our siblings and our cousins and our friends to work for us, you know, before, and it just kind of transitioned out. And I think also one of the values of the homeschooling for us is translating to filmmaking, particularly with the way our parents raised us, with that critical thinking along moral and spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. So something we spent a lot of time talking about and exploring. And also for us, it was a passion for history and literature mm-hmm. and those things, and then storytelling, and valuing all of those elements. So those, the practical side of interacting with teams and getting to do bigger projects and stuff at an earlier age. And then the academic focus as well, the way it kind of mentally, emotionally, spiritually shaped us to be storytellers. So we give my parents a lot of credit and a lot of gratitude for that.
Yeah, so cool. How many siblings do you have?
I'm one of four.
Okay.
And then Chad, my other kind of set of cousins who did a lot of the movies with us, they have five.
Okay.
So those are our core families we started with. And many of us are still involved in creative endeavors, you know, and we'll jump together to work on projects at different times. So it's real, really fun.
That is so cool. We often talk about life schooling and the advantage of homeschooling, because you get to just do real life. We have some friends, the McCoskeys, and Matthew, their son, he's working on a film right now. And basically this whole school year, he has directed this film, and with a group of other friends of his and his siblings, and very much like you did with Pendragon, where they've done the costumes, they've done the sets, they've, I mean, it's just incredible what these kids have done. And I was talking to his mom a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, sometimes I think, man, you know, we haven't really done very much spelling or math or writing this year. And I'm like, the kid's making a movie. I mean, it's incredible. These kids together, they've written the script, they've acted it out, they've had to do all the business behind it, they've had to do all the funding and financing behind it. It's just amazing. And when you think about education, whether it's homeschool, public school, private school, whatever, the whole goal of education is to raise up these children to become, you know, productive, successful adults in the adult world. Well, when you get that firsthand experience, that hands-on experience, you don't need a classroom to do that. You get to actually do it in real life. And what an incredible blessing. How old were you when you did Pendragon?
Pendragon, we started writing when I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
So we'd been working for several years, several big projects before that. That was the first feature.
Okay. That is so cool. What an amazing opportunity you have had to do that. And our girls are very much in that same boat. We've been traveling and making this movie for the past 2.5 years. And so they've been able to see the business side of this and the filming side of it as well. Our 13-year-old, she's actually done some of the filming for the movie. So she'll have a camera credit on the movie, which is really cool. And it's just so much fun. And we get to just be a family and be together.
It's something that I really enjoy, being a family and being able to be together. That's a huge way to learn together and to learn in those real life situations and to get to see get to interact with your kids in a variety of different situations and talk through those life issues in the context of doing something together is something that we loved. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's super cool. I want to continue talking about all of these things and about your relationship with your siblings and what it looks like now. But we're going to take a quick break to hear from a sponsor, and we will be right back. This episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is brought to you by Libromania, a podcast for book lovers from the Close Reads Podcast Network and the Searcy Institute. Through conversations with contemporary novelists, poets, and biographers, as well as collectors, designers, and others, Libromania is for the person who believes that good books are an essential part of the good life. For more information, go to closereadspods.com or subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you dial up your favorite podcasts. Talk about your relationship with your siblings now. So now you grew up together, you got to do all kinds of fun projects together, you homeschooled together. What do your relationships look like now as adults?
Yeah, so my oldest sister, Marilyn, lives in Ireland now.
Oh,
but she went on a missions trip several years ago to Ireland and then married the camp director. So
we kind of
lost her over there. But she actually just had her first baby, and so my parents are in Ireland this week visiting them. So, but that's, more challenging to keep in touch and work on things together long distance. But then my younger brother, Nathan, so when we did Beyond the Mask, she was our wardrobe designer. So
okay.
She did all the work for us. My younger sister, Shannon, is a photographer and a writer. And so she also manages the doctor's office in between writing gigs. So she is working for me now on Overcomer, doing their behind the scenes book. And then she did the same thing for us. She was our on-set photographer and did our behind the scenes book for Beyond the Mask.
Okay.
And then my youngest brother, Nathan, he's an engineer. So he did all our props and all our kind of mechanical work on Beyond the Mask. And then when he finished, he went to engineering school, and that's what he's doing now. So
okay,
definitely homeschooling does not equal friction-free sibling relationships.
Sure.
So no doubt about that. But I definitely enjoyed working with my siblings, getting a chance to work through some of those things and have a chance to spend time together and doing those. So yeah, they all, depending on the project and depending on their availability, they'll all jump back in and help us at various times with different elements of it. So it's really a lot of fun to still have that community. And we have our family WhatsApp thread, which we keep touch keep in touch that way, sharing, you know, updates and answered prayers and prayer requests and challenges for the project and for family things. So that's something that we've really enjoyed using, even as our families spread around the globe, to mm-hmm. still stay connected using our smartphones for something that's actually positive.
So. Yeah. They can be good sometimes. looking back in your journey of being homeschooled as a kid, what would you do differently? If you could have changed something about how you were homeschooled, or, you know, something with your, you know, I don't know, your family life or whatever. Is there anything that you would change?
Ouch. Now you're asking me to rat out my parents.
No. Nothing that's going to offend your mom or your dad.
Let's see.
And maybe even something like for yourself, like, you know, I don't know, maybe.
Something I found is each kid is different. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I really, so I composed the score. We did music lessons all growing up and playing orchestra and stuff, which I loved. But for Pendragon, I composed the score for it with my sister. And I found myself getting depressed after working on it for 12 hours a day in the basement. And I'm like, I love music. I love music theory. I love composing. What is wrong with me? Why do I feel so sad right now? And I realized it's because I'm wired as an exhorter. Uh-huh. I'm wired as a people person. And so some of that for me, I just don't do well by myself spending days and days at a time. So looking back, most of my siblings could go either way. You know, they're not as much super hard work towards, like my younger brother, he's very comfortable to spend a whole day by himself and work on things and be productive and get stuff done. He's fine that way. But for me being homeschooled, one of the things was, hey, I want to be talking, be doing more things. So in the later years of homeschooling, my parents put me on a basketball team, you know, at a local Christian school, and put me in orchestras and choirs and things, so that every day I was doing outside mm-hmm. interaction. So that's something that I would encourage parents, and my parents were good about listening and having these conversations kind of throughout. But saying each kid is different, mm-hmm. and just because it worked for one kid doesn't mean it's going to work for another, and being able to shape. And that's one of the values of homeschooling. You can do whatever is helpful for your kid. So that's something that, you know, I think whenever we ran into one of those bumps, then we say, okay, well, what is an adjustment that we can make that would help you with your learning and those kind of things?
Yeah.
I know I'm thinking back to some of the old curriculums that we used were pretty outdated, and like, you know, some of the phonics memorization books that we had back when I was a little kid. And you see, you know, your younger siblings have these fun games and songs and prizes and stuff. What's up with that? I had to learn it the hard way. But overall, we did have a good experience. And I think once we kind of recognized the differences, you know, between different kids, that mm-hmm. was a strength. Something else I'll say, and this is something that we learned, with standards, and how do you decide, okay, you're as a homeschool, you're keeping your kids out of public school. Okay, why did you decide to do that? Well, you know, lots of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But one element is we want to keep them protected from the world, right? I would encourage parents to really think about the choices they make in that category. Mm-hmm. And as you have high standards of what you will and won't watch, also remember that where does evil come from? Mm-hmm. Evil doesn't come from without, but comes from within our own hearts. So we are our own greatest danger to ourselves. And I think that's something that I wouldn't blame anyone but myself for this, but I grew up through high school and into college with more of a self-righteous mm-hmm. bent. It's, mm-hmm. I've kept myself clean from these different kinds of things that other bad people do. No, that's not how it works. And yes, God cares about our actions and cares about our holiness and those things. But first of all, he cares about our hearts. Mm-hmm. He wants us to live and walk in humility and love and with him, and have that relationship with him. And out of our hearts flow what we do with our hands. So that's something that I think is something that we're talking about with my wife and I, with our mm-hmm. kids, and processing through. And again, it's a new generation. Everything's changed. Like, you know, you couldn't even try to apply the same standards from a generation ago to today. Sure. So really thinking through those things and making sure that as we pray through what should those decisions be like, recognizing that no matter how we organize and structure things, mm-hmm. it's ultimately the Lord that has to rule in our hearts and our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's park on that for a minute, because I think that's a really great point. And oftentimes, you know, homeschool parents can become kind of self-righteous in that idea of, well, we homeschool, so we're obviously so much, you know, better parents than other people who might put their kids in school. And right. And obviously that's not true. Parents love their kids unconditionally with everything in them. But teaching our kids, you know, we want our girls to grow up to love Jesus with all their hearts. As you were growing up, when did you really recognize in yourself that your faith was becoming your own and not what your parents wanted it to be because you were homeschooled? Because that can often happen where, you know, I mean, we've seen it happen a whole lot where kids are homeschooled. And so parents are like, yep, box checked. Kids are homeschooled. We've done all the right things. We've checked all the right boxes. We've raised them up to love Jesus. And then they go out into the world and they just go off the rails. I mean, they don't know what to do with this whole world around them. At what point did your faith become your own?
So I would say it's a gradual process. And I think some people will go and put like, this is the exact moment where you get saved. But I look at Peter, and there's, you know, did Peter become a believer of Jesus when he left everything to follow him? Was it when he made the profession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or was it in the fish fry on the beach where Jesus said, you know, I forgive you and I want you to feed my sheep? Mm-hmm. Which one of those moments was it when his faith became real? And I know for me, it was a process over time. But I think as long as you live under your parents' rule, you don't know for sure, in a way, if your faith is yours or it's their rules. And so there's this kind of transition moment where all of a sudden you realize you're not under their rule and you can make whatever decisions you want. And then you have to ask, okay, what do I really believe? Mm-hmm. So something that, again, my kids are little. I'm so much a learner in the parenting category, and it's something that I'm eager to get advice and input from others. But something that we've been praying about and thinking about is, okay, what can we do to give our kids more rope, as it were, to let them fail earlier, let them try and learn and make mistakes while we still have a voice that we can speak into mm-hmm. their lives. And what can we do to expose them to the world and expose them to these things in a way that there's not just this huge curiosity in mind, because they've been held back from all those things, but that we can expose them to in a context that we can have a discussion about it and say, you see how these decisions, the Lord's set up the world. If you make these decisions, this is where it leads. And those kind of questions and those kind of things, so that they're not sheltered, mm-hmm. quote unquote, in such a way that when they leave, the curiosity is so strong, or the hatred of the way that that we run things is so strong that they want to go out and explore it for themselves, but that we can experience that with them. So that's something that I don't know. Now, I don't know practically how to execute on that, yeah. but that's something that we've talked about and thought about before.
Yeah, I think it's constantly a learning process. You know, our oldest is 13 right now, and we're hitting those teen years. And I feel like every day there's just a new excitement about the teen years and then a new challenge that comes with it. But it's really fun, because if we're intentional as parents and really paying attention to our kids and to their needs, like you said, you know, in your family, you were able to talk through stuff with your parents. I think being open with our kids and being able to really talk with them and dig deep into their hearts and see, how are you really feeling about this? What are your thoughts on this? You know, let's walk through this together. It's such a joy to be able to do that. And sometimes it's a little bit scary, I'll be honest, because sometimes, you know, my girls will say something. I'm like, that's not at all what we've taught you. That's not what we believe. That's not what God's word says. Where did you even get that from?
That I would add to that, I was just talking with a good friend of mine who's a pastor, a youth pastor, and we were talking about standards mm-hmm. versus God's word. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy in young people's mind, or for all of us, to blur, okay, what does the Bible really say about that? What is the, and there's the huge hot button topics of, you know, what you watch, what you listen to, what you wear, what you consume. Mm-hmm. And does the Bible really, really prescribe what kind of clothing we should wear? Mm-hmm. I don't think that it does. There's no verse that you can judge and say that clothing pleases God or not based on God's word. He gives us principles to apply.
Sure. Modesty.
Yeah, exactly. Modesty and appropriateness, all these things that you can have the conversation. But when it comes down to applying those, then he doesn't give us specific standards for what kind of music to listen to or even what to consume. So you can say, for my family, these are the principles, and these are, be very clear about what the, now there are some things that are right and wrong. God says, always tell the truth. God says, never cheat. Mm-hmm. God says that marriage is between a man and a woman. God says, that, you know, all these things that are very clear, very unequivocal. But then there's also this moving out from there. How are you going to apply these things in your context? Mm-hmm. And that's where wisdom and all those other things come in. But making a clear distinction between this is what the Bible says and this is how we apply it. And then I think that was something that was a challenge for me in some of the church context and family context. Because then you say, so that's a rule. That's something that they made us do or made us avoid. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. And so if we teach as doctrine the commandments of men, as Jesus warns against, then I think you can be in danger of saying, well, that's just your opinion. I'm throwing out the whole baby with the bathwater. So being, I think people should land and have very strong standards and very know exactly why they believe what they believe and why they have certain rules in their home. And I don't think rules in your home are a bad thing at all. You should absolutely have them.
Sure.
But be careful when you communicate in them that we make sure that we discuss, this is, the Bible actually says this.
Right.
This is actually God's word. No, this is our application of it. And this might vary. And you might come to disagree with this Sunday, but that's okay. Because while you're in our home, this is how we want to do it.
Right.
And that's something that I think is can be helpful as well.
Yes. Yep. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We are unfortunately out of time for the podcast, but if you have a few more minutes, I would love to continue the conversation because I have a few more points that I want to talk about. I want to talk about advice that you would give to any aspiring filmmakers. I know that there are a whole lot of homeschool kids out there who really want to use the gifts that God's given them through film. And also, I want to talk about that specific thing about using the gifts and talents that God's given us for his kingdom. So you good to stand for a few more minutes?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So we will continue on for Backstage Pass members. For those of you listening to the podcast, if you are not familiar with the Backstage Pass membership, it is the Schoolhouse Rock Backstage Pass membership gives you access to some bonus material from the podcast. It gives you all kinds of behind the scenes footage from Schoolhouse Rock, the movie that we're in production on right now, and lots of fun interviews and things like that. So, and it's a really great way to support the film right now. So we would love that. We would also love your prayers. If you guys would just continue praying for our family as we work through production on this movie, God is doing amazing things right now. And we are so grateful for those of you who have just stood by our sides and prayed for us over the last couple of years. We are so grateful for that. So please continue to do that. If you have not yet signed up for the newsletter, please do that. It's so funny. I talk to people all the time and they'll ask me questions and I'll say, well, did you get our latest update? And they'll say, well, no, I don't think I get your updates. I'm like, well, sign up for the newsletter and you'll know what's going on with us. So if you just go to schoolhouserocked.com, you'll just see a little form on the right side there that you can fill out, and that just goes to us and you'll get our updates. But Aaron, thank you for your time today. Where can people find out more about you and what you're doing?
We have a website, Burns & Co. Productions.
Okay.
And then our Facebook page. I feel to be on the Mass Facebook page. We'll probably post updates there.
Okay. Sounds great. We'll put those links in the show notes. So thank you so much for being on today, and we will continue this conversation.